Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from the golden age of radio. I'm Mark Levonier. There's Christmas shows in this hour. Later on, the Jack Pearl program from 1936, but first, an episode of the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players, marking the radio debut of actress Janet Leigh. The play is All Through the House, heard on Christmas Day 1946 on CBS.
Good evening. This is Joseph Cotton.
John Garfield.
Gene Kelly.
And Gregory Peck, speaking for Cresta Blanca's Hollywood Players. We invite you now to listen to a new play written especially for this Christmas night, 1946. And for a new young star whom we've asked to be with us and play the lead. One of these days you'll be seeing her name in those big white lights. But tonight is her first appearance on the air, Miss Janet Leigh. Janet Leigh, a new play in our humble selves. It's a Christmas gift to our listeners everywhere. Gratefully presented by...
C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca. Now, as their Christmas gift for 1946, the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players present All Through the House, a new radio play written especially for tonight's show by Russell Hughes. And starring in her first radio role, Janet Leigh. There's something about the Christmas season that imparts a psychic feeling to people. Puts them in touch, so to speak, with others. Somehow, the spirit is reflected in their faces, ruddied by the wind. It shines in a smile for a stranger, a greeting given to one who is just passing. It speaks in the crisp voice of snow packed underfoot. It rings in the bells of the Santa Clauses and Salvation Army lassies posted at corners. That's the way it should be, and that's the way it is. You walk up Fifth Avenue in New York, past the gaily decorated windows, past Central Park, shining white in the crystalline coverlet. You look at the windows of the big houses, each with its Christmas wreath, its vari-colored tree, and then you come to one. No wreath, no lights in the windows. That's the Cortland place. 25 rooms of dullness. Inside, there are the three Cortland brothers, Gregory, Jean, and John, and their butler, Joseph. This is where you doff your Christmas spirit. Check it at the door. You can listen to Joseph speaking to his employers.
I simply carried out your father's wish, gentlemen, that's all.
Well, it's funny you waited until now to do it.
I thought having the girl here for the Christmas holidays would be nice, Mr. Jean.
For whom? Why should I have to put up with this urchin?
You? What makes it any tougher on you than on me? I don't want her around either.
Nevertheless, Mr. Gregory, she's coming tomorrow afternoon.
Look, I don't see that it's any concern of ours.
The girl is the daughter of your father's best friend.
And what difference does that make?
Simply that your father would... I'd like the girl to be here for the holidays, Mr. John.
And you took it upon yourself to invite her here.
Yes, Mr. Gregory.
Oh, I wish I could fire you, Joseph.
Unfortunately, Father's will prevents that.
Look, I'm bored with this bickering. I'm going upstairs to my laboratory, and I don't wish to be disturbed for anything. Understand, Joseph? Anything.
I thought perhaps the three of you could make the girl feel at home, a Christmas present, so to speak.
Well, you invited her. You handle things. I've got nothing to do with it.
Okay, I'm getting it out of my hair, too. You play Santa Claus, Joseph. So long.
Mr. Jean, perhaps you could...
Me? Yeah. Oh, no, Joseph. My two charming brothers wash their hands of it tonight.
Why can't you three get along?
Because we don't like each other.
But the girl, at least make it pleasant for her.
What for? Well, now I'm going out and try to forget that I saw both of my brothers in one evening. And, Joseph, when that girl gets here, keep her away from me.
Janet.
I thought I'd come down a little early, Joseph.
I see. Is your room comfortable?
Oh, it's wonderful, Joseph.
Well, dinner's ready if you care to sit down now, Miss Janet.
Oh, no, I'll wait for them. I've been waiting all day to meet them. They'll be here soon, won't they?
Well, they're...
But there's only one place set at the table.
That's a very beautiful gown, Miss Janet.
Do you like it? I bought it especially. I guess the New York stores have better things than we do in Wallusa, Michigan, but it was the best I could get.
Well, it's beautiful, and so are you.
Well, they like me, Joseph. It was so wonderful of them to invite me here. It was just like getting a beautiful Christmas present before Christmas.
I hope it is, Miss Janet.
What?
Sit here, won't you, please?
But I want to wait for them.
They won't be here for dinner.
Won't be here, but...
They asked me to excuse them.
Oh, they're busy.
They're busy, yes.
Oh, I guess I look kind of silly then, all dressed up like this.
No, I said you were beautiful. I meant it. Please, sit down.
Joseph.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Janet. That's Mr. John and I.
Oh, then I can meet him now.
Miss Janet, please. Miss Janet.
Hello, Uncle John.
Huh? Oh, hello.
I'm Janet Lee, and I...
Oh, Joseph.
Oh, yes, Mr. John.
If any calls come for me, take them, will you?
Yes, sir.
Good. See you later.
Oh, but wait, please.
Well?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for letting me come here. It was really wonderful. I didn't expect anything like it.
Sure, and... sure. Make yourself at home. See you later.
Won't you come back into the dining room, Miss Janet?
But he didn't give me a chance to tell him that I... Why did he treat me like that?
Oh, Miss Janet, now please, have your dinner and forget all about it.
Oh, I didn't know there was anyone in here.
Well, it's all right. I was just sitting here in the library.
Oh, I just came in to get a book.
I'm Janet Lee.
What?
I'm Janet Lee.
I see. Excuse me, I want that book.
This one?
Oh, no, I'll get it myself.
Are you Uncle Gene?
That, Miss Lee, is a misfortune that fate has spared me. Biological circumstance made him my brother. Beyond that, I'm not to blame. Please excuse me.
Oh, just a minute.
Yes, what now?
Well, you must be Gregory.
Well, what of it?
Well, it was very kind of you and your brothers to invite me here for Christmas.
Who told you that?
Well, didn't you?
No.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
You're Jean.
Well, unless there's a ringer in the family, I'm Jean. So, you're the girl, huh?
Yes.
Well, okay, have a good time, enjoy yourself. Good night.
Oh, but wait.
Huh?
Well, I wanted to talk to you.
Well, some other time, huh? So long.
Well, met all three of them now, Miss Janet.
Oh, Joseph. Yes, I've met them.
I'm sorry it had to be this way.
They didn't invite me here, did they?
No. No, they didn't.
Gregory told me.
Yeah, he would.
Why didn't you tell me, Joseph? I wouldn't have come if I thought they didn't want me.
I wanted to, but I thought things would work out.
Oh. Joseph, what's the matter with them?
It's a long story. Money, for one. Since their father died, they've drifted apart. Each one lives for himself and by himself.
I shouldn't have come then.
Perhaps not, but I thought that someone else in this house would make them realize what they are doing to themselves and to each other.
You love them, don't you, Joseph?
I remember them as they were a long time ago. I try to convince myself that they're the same boys who used to... Oh, it's no use.
Can I do something?
You'd only get a slap in the face for your trouble as I did.
Joseph, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
All over the world. All over the world with the exception of this dark blot in the middle of Manhattan.
Maybe I can make a Christmas Eve here, too.
Can't be done.
Oh, but I'm going to try, Joseph. I'm going to try. It's Jan, Uncle John.
Now what?
Well, I didn't get much of a chance to talk to you last night.
Well, start talking.
Oh, what's this?
A racing form.
Oh, what's it for?
I've often wondered about that myself. Funny man, huh?
No.
Now, look, kid, you didn't come in here at 9 o'clock in the morning, Meg, with the funny cracks, did you? What's on your mind? Comfortable? Room all right? Need money? You want anything?
Oh, no, but I...
Well, what now?
Oh, Tennyson's Complete Works.
Put that down.
Do you read Tennyson?
No, the window rattles. I tear pages out of the book to stuff it in the cracks.
The pages are all marked.
Put it down, I said.
And this is your handwriting on the margins.
It's not.
It's the same handwriting on the racing form.
Beat it, will you?
Come away. No more of mirth is there, or merrymaking sound. The house was builded of the earth, and shall fall again to ground. That's the deserted house. You like that, don't you?
Not particularly.
You've got it marked and underlined.
I did that a long time ago.
It's like this house, isn't it?
Huh? Oh, why do you say that?
Listen, all within is dark as night. In the windows, there is no light, and no murmur at the door, so frequent on its hinge before. I'm going away this afternoon.
Going away? Well, why? Don't you like it here?
No. All through the house, it's like this poem. Oh, I remember at home, on Christmas Eve, we had a big tree with presents under it.
Well, what's so wonderful about that? We used to have it here, too.
Did you? What happened?
Happened? Oh, I don't know.
I'd love to see a big tree in your living room downstairs, wouldn't you?
With those brothers of mine? Janet, that's like a long shot that never comes in.
Oh, but you'd like it, wouldn't you?
So what if I would?
Well, I wonder if we couldn't have one.
What are you talking about?
A tree with lights?
Don't be funny, Janet.
They wouldn't have to know if you'd be ashamed.
They're never home.
Well, then why couldn't we have Christmas Eve together?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
What do you take me for?
For a man who wants to do something like that, but won't admit it. Or you wouldn't mark this poem if you hadn't.
Look, kid, don't rub it in.
Please, Uncle John, can't we do it?
But,
your brothers won't be here. You know that.
Well, you wouldn't tell.
Oh, no.
Okay. You got yourself a date, Janet.
Who is it?
Janet.
Go away.
Please, may I come in for a moment?
Well?
Oh, laboratory.
Well, now that you've demonstrated an enormous discerning power by recognizing the accoutrements of a scientific laboratory, perhaps you'll state your business and get out.
Well, it looks so interesting.
It is to me.
I took chemistry in high school.
Well, congratulations. I trust you were able to pour water from one beaker to another without disastrous results.
Well, I got as far as qualitative analysis, but the valence tables always did get away from me.
Valence tables? You know something about it?
Oh, just a little. Of course, Mr. Harkins, that was my professor, said that I should go on with it. I was going to do research in metallurgy if I did, and then Dad died and...
Oh, I see.
It would have been very interesting to come up here and watch you work.
Would have been?
Yes, but I'm leaving this afternoon.
Leaving what for? You just got here yesterday.
Well, I know, but John...
John, what about him?
Oh, nothing.
Well, go on. What did that evolutionary mistake have to say?
Oh, it's not what he said so much as the way he acted.
Acted? How?
Well, I don't want to say anything about it.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, he acted as though he didn't want me here.
Oh? Look here, Janet, you stay as long as you want. Pay no attention to John.
But if...
I said stay as long as you want. One crack out of him and I'll be very pleased to bounce him around the room a little.
You?
Well, what's the matter with me?
Well, you don't look tough.
Now, Janet, I may wear spectacles. I look a little on the seedy side, but in college I won the light heavyweight championship. Nothing would give me greater pleasure than to exercise a comeback to the title on either one of my brothers.
Oh, thank you, Uncle Gregory.
You're welcome.
Do you stay in here all day?
Oh, it's a secure retreat for my brothers. Why?
Well, I was wondering about tonight.
Tonight?
Christmas Eve.
Oh. Well?
Don't you have a tree?
Tree? Oh, well, long time ago.
Why don't you give yourself a holiday tonight? We can have a tree in the living room.
Oh, but John and Jean...
Well, they won't be home, will they?
Well, that's true. All right, Janet. We'll have our Christmas Eve.
Who is it?
It's me, Janet.
Wait a minute. What's the matter?
Was that you playing the piano?
No, it wasn't.
You have a piano in your room?
Yes, I do.
Well, I didn't know you played. Well, I mean, no one told me.
What do you want?
Oh, nothing. You were in such a hurry last night, I didn't get a chance to tell you how much I appreciated you letting me come here for the holidays.
Oh, it's all right. Is that all?
I play the piano a little.
Yeah?
I love music. Of course, I don't play real well, but Dad likes to hear me.
Oh, go ahead, play something.
Oh, no, I'm just an amateur.
Do I look like Paderewski?
Oh, you're lots of fun.
Sure. Well, you've got 10 fingers. Why pick on one?
You play for me.
Oh, what, for example?
Anything.
You didn't happen to see my brothers around, did you?
Yes, I saw them.
Oh.
Aren't you going to play?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Oh. Weren't you playing Silent Night when I knocked at the door?
Now, why should I play that?
Because tonight's Christmas Eve.
Oh, it is?
Didn't you know?
Well, I had a vague idea it was December, but...
I remember when I was little. I used to play the piano on Christmas Eve.
So did I, in front of uncles, aunts, cousins, the whole Cortland tribe.
Was it fun?
I guess so.
Don't you do it anymore?
Are you kidding?
No, why?
Look, I've got one brother who wouldn't know a note of music from one of the horses he loses money on, and the other brother smells like one of his chemicals and looks worse. Should I play for them?
I'd like you to play for me.
Why?
Because I think you'd like to play for someone, wouldn't you?
Well, okay, Janet. You hire a hall and I'll do the rest.
Tonight?
Tonight? Why tonight?
Well, because it's Christmas Eve.
Well,
wouldn't you like it?
Well, I guess so, but how about...
Gregory and John?
Yes.
Oh, don't they go out?
Mm-hmm. Especially on Christmas Eve.
Then you wouldn't have to think about them.
Well, I... All right, Janet, it's a deal.
Yes, Mr. Gregory.
My brothers, yes. They've all gone out.
Oh, I believe so, Mr. Gregory.
All right, thanks.
Joseph. Oh, Mr. Gene.
Look, Joseph, the two fates, are they in the house?
I think not, Mr. Gene.
Swell. Is Janet in the living room?
Not yet, Mr. Gene.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Joseph.
Oh. Yes, sir?
Horseface and Thimblehead, where are they?
You mean Mr. Gregory and Mr. Gene?
Yeah.
I believe they've gone out, Mr. John.
Okay, lock the doors and don't let them back in.
Beg your pardon?
Forget it. I'll be in my room.
Yes, sir.
Joseph.
Oh, Miss Janet.
It worked.
You hope.
Oh, but it will, Joseph. They're all home. They'll all go into the living room. Oh, they're bound to be all right. It's Christmas Eve.
Yes, Christmas Eve. A fine time for a free-for-all.
Oh, don't talk like that. It'll be all right.
I hope so, Miss Janet.
Oh, I know so.
You'd gone out.
I thought you had.
Well, I didn't.
So I see.
Aren't you going out?
Later.
Oh. Thought you were going out.
You said that once.
Yeah.
Oh.
John.
What'd you expect? Didn't you leave a while ago?
No.
Well, Joseph said you did.
He said you did.
Well, that's what he told me.
What's the matter with him?
Hey, is that a book you're carrying, John?
Well, what about it?
Don't tell me you can read.
Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up.
Stop it, you two. It's bad enough to have you in the same room without starting one of your stupid arguments.
Keep your ugly face out of
be
it.
Be careful, Gene.
Go on, you two, beat it.
Don't tell me to beat it, you half-baked tout.
Why, you...
Look what he's carrying. Look what he's carrying. Tennyson's poem.
Oh, no.
Yes, well.
Take off those glasses, you animated test tube. Take them off. Come on.
This is a moment for which I've always
hey,
waited.
I cut in at any time.
I'll get around
come
to
on,
you.
Come on. I'll... Listen here, if you think...
Stop it.
Janet.
Why don't you act like grown men?
Wait a minute. Why, you double-crosser. Double-crosser? Oh, I thought there was something fishy about all three of us being home.
So, well, you've had a laugh on us, have you, Janet? Well, laugh.
How do you like that? A kid crosses us up.
So you love music, huh?
And Tennyson. Here, take the book, read it to yourself and like it.
Miss Lee, this ill-considered joke of yours is...
Just a minute. It wasn't a joke. It was never meant to be. I just couldn't believe that brothers could act like you three and be human. Maybe I live in a small town all my life. And maybe it did seem wonderful to come to New York, but not anymore. I wish I'd never come. I don't believe that even one of you knows what Christmas means anymore. I don't believe you ever did know, because you wouldn't have acted like this if you did. Oh, I thought that if you met on Christmas Eve that you'd like each other. That maybe you'd forget fighting and remember that you were once brothers. But I don't think that anymore. You're selfish. More selfish than anyone I've ever met before.
Gentlemen, may I add this, that you've each lived in yourselves and for yourselves so long that you're blind to any kind or thoughtful act. You've reached the point where you look with suspicion upon such a thing. And when that point is reached, nothing is left. I quit. Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Close the door, the shutters close, or through the windows we shall see the nakedness and vacancy of the dark, deserted house.
What?
Poetry, Tennyson. Do you mind?
Well, I didn't know you knew it.
No, I've known it for a long time.
That way?
That way.
Well, we managed to botch up this job for that kid.
Yeah. It hurts, doesn't it?
Right in the stomach.
We've kidded ourselves for so long that we refuse to admit an honest emotion.
Why did you come down here, Greg?
Why?
It wasn't because of her, was it?
I'll answer that. It wasn't entirely because of her, no. I came because because I thought I could remember a long time ago when we were kids and... okay, lad.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
Greg, Gene, what happened?
Happened when?
Anytime along the road to this. Where did we hit the split between us?
I don't know.
I don't either.
What's the use in it?
Well, each of us is afraid to admit that we'd like to get together. It took that kid to do it, and we slapped her right in the teeth. Oh, we're great guys.
Well, I'll tell her.
No, I will.
What's the matter with all three of us?
Goodbye. I didn't want to leave without saying yes.
Oh, wait a
Look,
minute.
Look, Janet.
Come in. Sit down a minute, will you?
We've got something to tell you.
Yes? I don't think you have to tell me.
Coming, Miss Janet?
No, she's not.
And neither are you, Joseph.
What are you talking about?
Nothing you can't see with your own eyes, Joseph.
Oh, I'm very glad, gentlemen.
And I was right after all. I mean, it is all right, isn't it?
Yes, it's all right.
Come here. To the piano. There. Now, play.
What? I really can't play.
But you said you could.
I was fibbing. I didn't know any other way I could... Well, I had to find something to talk about at first.
And chemistry? Valence tables?
I was awfully dumb in it. Mr. Hawkins said I was the dumbest one in the class.
Mr. Hawkins is a jackass.
With two hits.
Here. Go ahead. Pick it out on the piano. You know. What you did this morning.
You mean this?
Yeah. Yeah, that. John Gregg, you remember that?
Yeah. Well, you were about 2 feet high when I first remember you playing.
Your mother and dad sang.
Well, I can't play that.
Here. Move over. Now, like this.
Written especially for tonight's program and starring Janet Leigh. Her supporting players were Joseph Cotton, John Garfield, Gene Kelly, and Gregory Peck. All regular members of Schenley's Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players. They'll be back with you in just a moment.
Christmas Day is almost over. The carols have been sung, the stockings have been emptied, the gifts unwrapped and the toys tried out and assigned their places on the list of favorites. Christmas dinner has been eaten. Quite a few families have taken brisk walks. Many of the Christmas parties are past. A much younger generation is in bed. Even the cars on the street seem to be hurrying home. Yes, the best holiday of all is about over for another year. But the Christmas lights are still shining. In homes all over America, the trees are still pretty. The decorations are bright. And from millions of windows, wreaths and candles and colored lights still send out their greetings. They shine out over snow-covered lawns and cotton fields, city streets and great prairies. They all say the same thing, a message not only for today, but for all the year. And now, we of Cresta Blanca join them. Here is a light in our window, too, joining the millions of lights all over America, echoing the thoughts of millions of Americans. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And here again are Joseph Cotten, John Garfield, Gene Kelly, Gregory Peck, and Janet Lee.
Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Joe and John and Gene and Greg, for giving me the chance to star with all of you tonight. It's been the most wonderful Christmas gift in the world.
And one we've been happy to give. Now, there's just one more thing, Janet.
Yes?
We'd like you to sign the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players Guestbook.
Well, of course, John.
And here's the way to do it, Janet. Greg, you go ahead and lead off.
Right, Gene. C-R-E-S-T-A.
B-L-A-N-C-A.
Cresta Blanca.
Cresta Blanca.
The Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 25th of December, 1946, on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Livonier. Up next, a program from its waning months on the air, but still important in the history of radio. A comedy that drew tens of millions just a few years before this broadcast celebrates the Christmas season with comedian Jack Pearl, who plays the comedy character of Baron Munchausen, a satire of an actual German officer who penned his wild adventures from his time in the cavalry service in the 18th century. And, as one might expect, is played very much in the vaudeville style Pearl came from. This episode from December 21st, 1936 on NBC.
Cigarettes and Cool Cigarettes present their new show starring Jack Pearl as the famous Baron Munchausen, with his company including Charlie Cliff Hall and the music of Tommy Dorsey and his famous orchestra. Orchestra. A salute to two top-notch football teams which will play in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena New Year's Day. University of Pittsburgh and University of Washington. Topped off with the song of the Navy, Anchors Away. are two things in the air tonight. The spirit of Christmas and the fragrance of Raleigh's and Cool. And on the air are Charlie Clifford, Mae Questel, Robert Bernard, Frank Reddick, Junior O'Day, and the man who personifies laughter and good cheer throughout the world, the Baron Munchausen, Jack Pearl.
You're arguing with me.
What do you mean? Oh, you're all of a sudden.
Wait a minute. Don't get it. Let me get this straight, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
You say Santa Claus is like President Roosevelt?
Absolutely.
Santa Claus is like the president?
Wait, I prove it to you.
Go ahead, prove it.
I prove it
to
you. To start with, about everyone in this country loves him, right?
That's right.
All right. And yet half of them aren't absolutely certain they believe in him.
Well, go on.
Yeah, yes. And 50 million who do believe in him all expect him to give them everything they want within 24 hours.
Bravo, Baron.
Is that true?
But that reminds me, whatever happened to that little Republican kitten you won on the election?
Oh, didn't you know?
No.
He's for Roosevelt now, too.
Oh, but he was a Republican kitten.
Yeah.
How come he's for Roosevelt?
He finally got his eyes open.
Got his eyes open.
Yes. Oh, here they are. Tilly. See, I see you.
For heaven's sake, Baron, do you have to recognize your sister every show?
No. I want you to recognize her.
Oh, you do?
See? What? She's sitting right there with the fella she's married to.
Where?
Right here.
Now I remember her.
Yeah.
I saw her last 4th of July with a lot of firecrackers and a little punk.
Yeah, she's been You... with a little what?
With a little punk.
Oh, please.
Yes.
After all, he's a husband,
yeah,
you know.
Accidents will happen, you know.
Yeah. Oh, accident?
Yeah.
Oh, did I see one yesterday in the subway?
An accident?
A man gave a lady his seat.
And what happened?
She was so surprised she fainted.
Now, Baron, aren't you a little hard on the New York man?
No, but wait, you hear the rest of it.
What's the rest of it?
When she came to, she thanked him.
She thanked him?
Yes.
And then what happened?
He fainted.
He fainted.
Yeah.
To the tank. I see.
Those other kids, they don't know what they're talking about, Junior. Of course there's a Santa Claus. Well, I've never seen him.
I never saw my liver, but I know I got one.
Daddy, do you believe there's a Santa Claus?
Well, of course I do, son.
Why, sure. We all believe in Santa Claus.
Well, I'll have to think this thing over. That's a fine thing. A kid his age not believing in Santa Claus?
Yes, and I'm going to do something about it, too.
I bet I could make him believe in Santa Claus.
Me too. I got an idea. Come on, Susie. Come on.
Well, it's the season of the year, Baron.
Yeah.
Yuletide season.
Yeah.
Christmas draws on.
Yeah. Last Christmas... Did I ask you something?
No, Baron. I merely said Christmas draws on.
Yeah. I got new ones for Christmas, too.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I see Morton Bow went home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Is he still going with that girl from Atlantic City? You know the one. She had a blasé walk like all those Atlantic City girls.
No. He saw a San Francisco girl walk, and it was all off.
Shoot. You mean the Atlantic City people don't walk as well as the San Francisco folks?
No comparison.
No comparison. Huh?
You know, Charlie, in Atlantic City, they have a boardwalk.
A boardwalk.
Yeah,
I see. Boardwalk. And in San Francisco?
In San Francisco. They have a golden gate.
A golden
gate? Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a grand New Year anyway.
Yeah, well, not for me.
Not for you?
It looks like I'll have to spend New Year's in bed.
In bed? Why?
Well, you see, my tailor's zooing me for my only suit of clothes.
I see.
And I've got to take it off before the first of the year.
Now, wait a minute. You've got to take off your only suit of clothes before the first of the year?
Yeah.
Did your lawyer say so?
Yes, here's his letter.
Let's see it.
It says, Dear Baron, you see?
Yes, sir.
Your suit comes off December 31st.
Oh, God. But
you see, there it is.
You better dress up like Santa Claus, then.
Me like Santa Claus? Never again, Charlie.
No?
No, last year I tried that and got stuck in a chimney. In a chimney I got stuck.
In a chimney?
Yeah, and they had to send for a doctor to get me out.
Now, Baron, look, when you tell a story, be a little more exact in your choice of words and appellations.
Oh, sure.
They didn't send for a doctor to extricate you from that chimney flue.
No?
No, they sent for a chimney sweep.
Was you there, Charlie?
No.
Huh?
No. I must admit I was not in the vicinity.
Oh, you was not?
Yes.
So they sent for a doctor.
Why do you persist in that, Baron? If you got stuck in a chimney flue, why should they send for a doctor?
Because that's the doctor's business.
What's the doctor's business? Well, come on, what is it?
To pull you through the flue.
I never thought I'd pull you through the flue. Yeah.
Now,
Now back we go to the Barron's Information Bureau, where, unbeknown to each other, three gentlemen have hired Santa Claus suits to convince Charlie's son, Junior, that there really is a Santa Claus.
And Junior, as the prince went out to fight the dragon, he didn't know the meaning of the word fear. Why didn't he look it up in the dictionary? Oh, Junior. Now wait till I answer this call. Hello? Yes, this is the Worldwide Information Bureau. You'd like to know what movie actor had the most hair on his chest? Vin Tin Tin. Goodbye. Oh, I wonder who that is. Come in.
Oh, Turner. Oh, Blitzen. This is Santa Claus speaking. Is there a good little boy here named Charlie Jr.? I... Oh. My biscuit fell off.
Too bad, Baron. You lost your whiskers. They were so becoming. Sort of covered up your face, if you know what I mean. If you don't look silly, Baron. Santa Claus without whiskers.
Possible, yes.
Come in.
Aha! I need a hole. I am Santa Clausy.
We'll say you are.
Take them off, Becky. They know you.
Hey, what happened? Don't I look like a Santa Claus?
You always stick to me.
Oh, oh, my sturdy weeds, my worthy steed. This is Santa Sports speaking. I mean Santa Claus speaking. And who is this bright little fellow? Haven't you something to say to old Planet Claus? I mean Santa Claus?
Drunk again, eh, Pop?
You are nuts.
Charlie, you're some Santa Claus. Got me doing it.
Sorry, but I've got some studying to do. See you later. Now, that's a fine thing. Now, we'll never believe there's a Santa Claus.
Excuse me, folks.
Just a second, old-timer. Why don't you rap on the door before you come busting in on people?
Oh, didn't you know?
Know what?
I don't give a rap for anybody.
Oh.
You see, I'm Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
And who are those three cow imitators, huh? Well, I couldn't find my reindeers, so these boys are the next thing to it.
Yes, they're the next thing to reindeers?
Yes, they're elks in good standing. Show them your cards, boys. You know, when I get back, I'm going to enter him in the 6-day icicle race.
If you're Santa Claus, you must have mixed it up a lot with King Winter.
No, but I went 6 rounds with King Levinsky. Oh, and if you're imitating me, Baron, that collar on your coat is wrong. Did you ever wear a muskrat collar?
No.
Well, you otter. Catch on. Otter.
I'm starting to dislike this fella, you know that?
Hey, Santa, what'll you do for the rest of the year?
Nothing. I'll just take life easy and live on my income.
What did he say?
He's going on relief.
Oh, yeah. Relief, huh?
Who is this, Baron?
Fair lady, I am Kris Kringle.
Kris Kringle, not Kris Tagle.
Oh. Now we'll see what's in the bag for you. A waffle iron.
Oh, go on, you nutsy dokey. I never iron my waffles.
And 3 cakes of oatmeal soap.
She don't wash her oatmeal either.
This is getting nuttier and nuttier, you know.
Wait till Junior sees them. Oh, Junior.
Well, say, while we're waiting, Santa, my hair has been falling out terribly. Could you suggest anything to keep it in?
Certainly, my boy. Here, keep it in this filing cabinet.
Oh, thanks.
And not at all. And a hairy Christmas to you.
A hairy Christmas?
I hate them, my dear. Did you hang up your stocking this year, Petrie?
No, a rubber boot.
A rubber boot? What do you expect for Christmas?
Pickled herring.
Oh, here's Junior.
Oh, son, listen. The thrill of your life. Here is Santa Claus.
There, you don't mean... Not honest to goodness.
Yes.
Then there really is a Santa Claus? Oh, I've got so much to ask him. Could you leave us alone for a minute?
Sure, we know how you feel. Come on, everybody.
Call us when you're through, Junior. Come on, Charlie.
Okay.
Well, Pete, looks like you put it over big.
Sure, kid. It was like taking candy from a baby. They really think I'm old Santa himself.
Great. Well, here's the 10th spot, I promise you. But mum's the word, or there'll be a new janitor out at the school.
I won't rap to a soul, kid.
But why is it so important, huh?
Because we must never shatter the faith of those four simple fools. That's why I did this. So they always believe in Santa Claus. I haven't the heart to disillusion them.
Okay, kid. Well, I gotta get back to the school. Come on, reindeers. It certainly stays cool. Spelled K-O-O-L.
Raleigh?
We sure appreciate that, boys. We sure do.
Who's that?
From that Louisville accent, it's one of his bosses.
Well, good night, kid.
Dad, Betsy, Barry.
Yes, son.
Yes, what happened? Oh, it was wonderful. I'll remember it to my dying day.
Oh, yes, and you won't forget this either.
Huh?
Right over the knee, you deceitful little wretch. Four simple souls, are we?
Ouch! Ouch! Ouch!
Hey, Ridge, but why?
What is it,
Charlie?
Well, the only detail my smart little son here forgot is that in that door that separated us, there's a nice big keyhole.
A keyhole?
A keyhole.
Oh,
shit.
What you did, Charlie?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope the real Santa Claus is listening. And I want to thank him for being so good-natured on letting us make jokes with him. And for our younger friends who are listening in, he is hoping that dear old Santa Claus will bring you and your folks the merriest Christmas you ever had. Tommy, it's yours.
Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra with Edith Wright and the Three Esquires. It's the Lovely from Red Hot and Blue.
Is young, skies are clear, and if you want to go walking, dear,
misty night or misty vicious, misty lovely.
I understand the reason why you're sentimental, cause so am I.
Misty night or misty vicious, misty lovely.
You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance.
You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low.
Let yourself go.
Don't be too sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me,
it's delight for misdemeanor. It's the nectar for misdemeanoria.
It's dilemma.
It's the limit.
It's the loop.
It's the lovely.
The Barron's Information Bureau, where the spirit of Christmas is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Aw, please, Barron, you've got influence.
Susie, for the last time, you cannot have Robert Taylor for Christmas. Now, come on, what do you want in your stocking?
Well, what's the matter with what's in there now?
She cut me again. And what are you doing, Junior?
Well, I'm drawing a picture to give Dad for Christmas. See, that's an angel.
Oh, that's Zilly, Junior. Did you ever see an angel with high heel shoes and silk stockings?
Did you ever see one without them?
He's older than he looks. But you got so many mistakes there. You got automobiles and flying machines.
But heaven is nothing like that.
No?
No.
But You there, Baron?
Let's see now, Manhattan, Martini, Dubonnet, Sidecar. Oh, Baron, how do you make a peach cordial?
How do you make a peach cordial?
Yes. Yeah.
Give her a bottle of gin.
Yes, sure.
Blood work, you think?
Yes, sir.
Thomas, look.
Oh,
and I cut it down myself.
You cut down that tree?
Yeah, from the $2 they were asking to the 50 cents I paid.
Susie, don't mind. Can you trim a Christmas tree?
Oh, can I trim a Christmas tree? Just give me the shears.
This is crazy. Wait, first I got a few presents to give. A box of candy for Edith Rice.
Edith Rice?
Yeah.
Come here, Edith, and get your present.
Edith, sweet to sweet.
Oh, Baron, you tickle me.
You see, and then I... Hello?
I say, you tickle me.
Later. Now, look at him. And for Susie, roller skates.
Roller skates? Why, I might break my neck.
You're telling me, And for Charlie, I give you this traveling bag.
Well, I appreciate the thought, Baron, but this is imitation leather.
Yeah?
When I have a bag, I like to see some cowhide in it.
Yeah, so you'd like to see what?
Some cowhide in it.
You want a present or a trick? What do you want, huh?
No.
And Junior, you got a dime bank.
No, but I have a bill fold.
Now, Junior, don't be a pig. You know what a pig is.
Oh, sure. A hard little boy.
Oh, all right, over the knee again. Oh, ouch. What have you got in the seat of your pants?
Among other things, Anthony Edwards.
Some kid.
Yes, some kid is right.
And for Petri, last but not least, bring it in.
Just what I needed, a watchdog. Say, will he chase shrimp?
You see, Petri, for that question, I forgive the bear. Could you ask me that once over?
I say, will he chase shrimp?
Will he? Start running and see.
And now we've just time for three or four questions. Now, look here. A man writes, if I let my daughter marry a college boy, will I lose her?
No, because you'll have a son-in-law to boot.
And here's a holiday question. Would mistletoe grow in California?
This is going to be terrible, Charlie.
Well, come on, let's have it just the same. Would mistletoe grow in California?
No. But Hollywood.
Hollywood. You were right about that terrible part of it.
Yeah.
Well, I see. Look, Baron. I see they've just made a new picture in Hollywood called The Last Three Women in the World.
Yeah?
Well, Baron, if there were only three women left in the world, what do you think they'd be doing?
Oh, well. Two of them would be over in the corner talking to the third one.
Yeah, talking to the third one?
I mean about the third one.
That's what it's about, then.
Yes. They would be talking about...
But suppose there were only three men left in the world. What would they be doing?
Well...
Well, come on, what would they be doing?
Breaking their necks trying to find the three women.
Yeah, well, see you again.
Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra playing That's a Plenty.
The Jack Pearl Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of December, 1936, an NBC broadcast. And that closes this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.